Once upon a time, man didn't recognize a need to communicate at all. Thousands and thousands of years ago, each man was an island. He found his own food. He found his own shelter. He found his own mate. Without any communication whatsoever. Relationships were quite action-oriented. Perhaps it's only a legend, but we understand that man's first communication took place between two hunters, Goro and Bluhu, as they stood side by side watching for any wild game that might appear in a valley below. It so happens that Goro's foot was atop Bluhu's. Bluhu grunted. Goro was shocked at the breaking of silence. But unfortunately, Goro didn't know what the grunt meant. Did it mean that a tender-meated kebab shish had appeared in the valley? Was Bluhu trying to tell Goro his wife's recipe for boiled fern? Or was he trying to set up a card game in his cave for that evening? Bluhu, with a flash of genius, realized that Goro didn't understand that his grunt meant, "You're standing on my foot!" So grabbing a soft, dark-colored rock, Goro scribbled a graphic description on the wall of the cliff. The earliest recorded forerunner to today's animated cartoon. From that early day forward, people communicated. First, more grunts and pictures on cliff walls. Slowly, the grunts changed to words, and the pictures changed to cryptic symbols with mutually agreed meanings. Sewing circles were formed. Somebody invented the printing press. Somebody else figured a way to send dots and dashes over wires. When they ran short of wire, somebody invented the wireless. Inventing different ways to communicate became a real in thing to do. Canned music and motion pictures arrived separately, later to be married into a form called flicks. A radio station began broadcasting in hopes that somebody would listen. When people began listening to that radio station, they began writing in to ask, "Where's the picture?" So they added the picture and called it television. By this time, people were going to the moon, and you'd think they would have gotten away from inventing new ways to communicate. But in a place called WCCO land, they were all excited about a new thing called pictureless TV. Let's pause here during our race through the history of communications. The time is the 1970s. The place is a thriving section of our heartland, more commonly called WCCO land. In WCCO land, as everywhere, television is a big, big means of communication. But in WCCO land, a group of dedicated people have dreamed about creating something even bigger than television. Downtown Twin Cities, audio engineers, programming specialists, personalities, newsmen, sportscasters, and many, many more have been working hard to make television viewing even more convenient by removing the TV picture. Imagine if there were no need for a picture. People could watch television in their cars. If television didn't require a picture, people could watch it while they tanned by lakes, raked with rakes, shop in stores, opened doors, fixed a watch, or played hopscotch. Yes, people in WCCO land were becoming aware that the picture tube was the big disadvantage of television. Now, one of the earliest pictureless TV sets looked something like this. It featured a speaker, smaller but perhaps superior in quality to the one found on conventional TV sets. Inside were all the components necessary to receive the audio portion of a broadcast. A continuous, that's right, continuous dial station selector instead of the click-stop variety found on ordinary TV. A simple volume and or tone control. Plus this little extension unit that permitted the broadcasting of the audio image directly into the ear itself. Imagine! You could watch this pictureless TV without disturbing somebody right beside you. Instead of the restrictions that confined watchers of ordinary TV, this pictureless TV would go to the refrigerator or to the bathroom with you. But how did people take to it? We want you to take part in a demonstration of the effectiveness of pictureless TV. People who live in WCCO land can take the simplest pictureless TV receiver, set its dial at the magic number combination of 830, and watch, using their ears only. We want you to try it. Picture a typical day in WCCO land.
And the time in Wanamingo is 6:06.
Good morning, good morning. It's grand to be on, and good morning to you.
Oh, beautiful.
Frank Fink of Lake Crystal writes in to say, I think the world of your singing. And you know what I think of the world.
Here are the school announcements. Goodhue, Minnesota, public and parochial, closed. These are all closed because of this morning's big snowstorm. West Concord, Dodge Center, Gaylord Public and Parochial, Kenyon, Clara City, Pine Island, Stuartville, St. Charles. These schools are all closed.
So we've had music, we've had weather and business news of Piper Jaffray, and we just had Al Shaver give us the sports news. And now the best part of the whole Cotton Pick and Viking show, special events starring Miss Joyce Lamont.
Joyce, baby.
Thank you, Howard.
And Joyce.
Very much.
Especially on this day, because today is your birthday, right?
Yes.
Hello, party line.
Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, but I've got a bone to pick with you guys.
You've got a bone to pick with us.
Jesus, here you are on this Save the Skeet campaign.
Yeah.
I thought I'd do my little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And during the afternoon, while my husband wasn't at home, of course.
Yes.
I snuck down to the basement, and I released all of his skeet. I
Wonderful.
Put them all out in the backyard.
Wonderful.
Oh. While my daughter was taking a nap, they didn't even try to get away.
Well, that's why so many of them have been killed. They are dumb. You know?
They're also very weak from hunger.
Oh, well, I never thought to consider
that. See, you didn't feed them. You haven't fed them, have you?
Well, I don't know. See, they're my husband.
Oh, I see. He hasn't fed them.
That's why we don't have a dog.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Okay.
There's a bunch of dogs out there barking about discrimination. They say that city dogs have been discriminated against. Isn't that right, sir? A dog?
Yes, sir.
You've been discriminated against, you city dogs?
That's right. They say country dogs eat better than city dogs. And I'm not going to fetch no more balls or carry no more newspapers until I got toughies, too.
Oh, I see.
Because I'm a city dog.
I tell you, I can bring a peaceful end to this demonstration. Listen, right now, you go out and tell your dog friends out there.
All right, dog friends, hang on. I think the guy's got something here.
Right now, Twin Cities supermarkets do carry toughies.
Hey, you hear that, dogs?
That's
beautiful. I'll tell you, if I did the shopping, I'd buy toughies.
Well, listen, you tell your mistress.
I don't have a mistress. I can't even afford a girlfriend.
We're waiting now for all members of the House to press their voting buttons. The clerk has closed the roll. You can hear the tabulation now.
The roll being called. There are 126 ayes and 3 nays.
Elaine?
Yes.
How are you? Incidentally, this
is
Elaine Lambert is my sister living in Los Angeles. Now, what about this earthquake that we have a report that shook Los Angeles and caused a few power failures? It happened about 20 minutes ago, is that right?
Well, yes, about 6 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
And
CBS News, Reed Collins reporting on the CBS Radio Network.
It's a beautiful day here at Lake Waverly, and I've come here to our home to talk to you about a decision of mine. I'm announcing my candidacy for the United States.
There's no justification for what is going to be done today, but it is quite apparent to me that they intend to vote brute power. Not knowing how to use the rules, they're going to go back to the old power game.
It eventually saw those defendants stripped of their altruistic disguises for the anarchists and societal misfits that they really are.
R. Johnson, WCCO Radio,
what
Government.
What I am trying to do, and what I ask for support for, is a program to end this war in a way that will discourage those that would start another war so that we can win.
We have voted to go on strike Thursday, April 9th, 7 a.m.
The membership of Local 59 of the Minneapolis Federation of Teachers met tonight here at the Picnicklet Hotel.